The drive was a little slick, I'll tell you that. Not too bad, though, but it's the kind of driving that can cause a sudden problem that you don't see coming. And that sudden moment of despair behind the wheel can lead to a lifetime of problems and injuries and recovery and expense and all of those things. And that's all part of the conversation when it comes to the Auto No Fault Reality Tour, continuing today at Willowbrook Rehabilitation Services in Brighton, Michigan. This company has been here since 1987, a continuum of care and rehab for persons who have suffered brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries, and so much more. Joining me here on the program, Tom Constand. He's been here before, president of the Michigan Brain Injury Association and CPAN board member. Tom, good to see you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Obviously, we've spent a lot of time on this program over the past few months talking about those that have been grievously injured, talking about the changes that are coming for auto insurance in Michigan come July 2020. I wonder if we're making a difference. I wonder if we're making some headway. I know, obviously, the governor, when she realized the little girl that was run over by a hit-and-run driver as a pedestrian in Detroit, got Governor Whitmer's attention enough to say, well, maybe we shouldn't impose all this stuff now, but where are we in this process?
Well, it's kind of a stay of execution in some ways. She postponed it until July, I think, of this year, now 2020. We are working with various members of the legislature right now to try and fix some of the unintended consequences that occurred as a result of this law. I think members of the legislature have admitted that it's not perfect. It's a start. Well, it's not perfect. It's far from perfect. And some of those unintended consequences could devastate the post-acute care industry in the state of Michigan. We've talked about that before.
Sure.
I just go back to
Amara, the girl, the three-year-old that was hit by the car, the pedestrian. I had a caller to the program yesterday. A gentleman called in from this area around Ann Arbor who said his son, 4 years ago at the age of 37, went out to get the mail. They had a mailbox out in the country across the street. You know, looking at the mail, not paying attention, gets clipped by a plow truck at the age of 37. Survived, has been through massive rehab, many surgeries, is somewhere in the $3 million range of expenses so far. And I said to I said, Dutch, what would happen if this insurance was the way it's going to be starting July 2020? So we'd be bankrupt, we'd be devastated, he wouldn't have the treatment, and he's doing great. He's you know, had all these great things happen, he's made great strides in 4 years, he's not back to where he needs to be. But, I mean, that's just an example.
There are hundreds of stories like that across the state where people aren't going to get the care, the extended care, the length of care that is necessary with a brain injury, with a devastating catastrophic injury such as one sustains from an auto accident. And that just won't be available. Residential care won't be available. Therapy services won't be available in the quantity or the duration needed, and the like. That's gonna go away. You know, I was just down in Ohio because the question always comes up: well, what happens in other states? And I was talking to them about what's going to happen, and we were all talking and saying that, you know, people now are going to be warehoused just like they are in other states. You're not going to hear about them. And one of the gentlemen that was down there came up to me afterwards. He said, it's not so much that people are going to be warehoused. He said, people are going to die. The mortality rate will increase. And you won't hear about that. You're not going to hear about somebody dying at 45 years old. That's not news. What's news is they could have lived until 65.
Or longer. It depends. And plus the financial devastation of people that will not be able to stay home with their loved ones.
Right.
Because that's another change. There's a restriction on how many hours a family member or a close friend can be with somebody and help them through their day. So those compensation rates are going to change just for the people that are already in the program. And meanwhile, the Catastrophic Claims Fund is somewhere around $24 billion.
Right.
That will be picked up, and this is the part that I've never understood, and maybe somebody could help me with it because I'm just that obtuse, but that money will then go back to the insurance companies, but I'm the one that paid it. You're the one that paid it.
It's our money.
You know, that's right. I've been paying into it since 1981. You've been paying into it since, you know, like last year because you're so young and spry. But seriously, we've been paying this our entire lives.
No, I agree. And that, we fear, is the end game here, that nobody's going to be – you're not going to be aware of it. That money's going to go back to the insurance industry. That's the ultimate goal. So it's frustrating. But we have been dealt the hand that we've been dealt with right now, and we need to do what we need to do to, in order to fix some of these wrongs.
What's on your list of things that you, at least to try to change some of the collateral damage as you see it? What would some of those things be, Tom?
Well, I think you've talked about it before. The one is the fee schedule that unintentionally we feel does not allow the post-acute industry to recoup sufficient dollars to stay in business. They're only allowed to charge 55% of non-Medicare coded services. And those non-Medicare coded services represent about 95% of the services provided by the post-acute industry. In layman's terms, you're going to see companies going out of business.
Right. So what happens to a company like this one? Willowbrook, been here since 1987. Obviously, a lot of what they deal with are traumatic brain injuries and so forth that are the direct result of automobile accidents. I mean, that's part of what they do here. And if the government dictates to them how much they're allowed to charge by law, and you can't charge any more than this, they're going to lose staff members. They're going to lose the opportunity to compete.
The good news there is that, as I said, we've been talking with the legislature about that very thing, and we're having good, constructive conversations. I think we've indicated that this is what's going to happen, and I don't think there was a realization to the extent that people couldn't charge more than
55%. But let me get to the crux of it, because here's the thing. When people send me nasty grams, and they will again today, for covering this topic, you know, and I'll get some. And it's fine. I don't mind that people disagree with me. They're entitled to be wrong. And I don't mind. They do it every day. But my point is this. We were told that we were going to save all of this money on car insurance. And at the end of the day, I don't know that I'm going to save anything. I could end up paying more.
Right.
But in the best case scenario, I might save $10 or $20 a month. I'm sorry, $10 or $20 a month
for the
savings.
Best care. Yeah.
Is
peanuts.
It's a horrible trade.
That's nothing.
It's a terrible deal.
You've taken instead of cutting costs, you've cut care. And there was another way to do it, but that's water under the bridge now. It is what it is. We have to move forward, and we have to work with those members of the legislature who understand that there are areas of this bill that need repairing, and that's what we're trying to do.
But is it water under the bridge? And I say that because I've been to some of these different get-togethers and the rally at the Capitol where 5,000 people turned out not long during the genesis of all of this. And there were ideas tossed around then and since then, you know, the idea of a ballot initiative, the idea of saying, wait a second, we can change this as Michigan citizens. And you can. And I think that if the people in Lansing realized how much people didn't like this new bill, there could be pushback in a different way.
Well, there can. And that's the mid to long term game here. If indeed people realize that they're not going to reap the savings that were promised them, and they won't be able to realize that until this actually kicks in. The first hurdle is July this year when choice becomes available and people can pick $250,000 or $500,000, whatever that level is. Once this law starts manifesting itself or doesn't manifest itself and people don't realize the savings, only then will people say, hey, wait a minute, we got hoodwinked here.
Right, but by then you're way down the road, and you wonder if you can ever backtrack. Tom Constant, the president of the Michigan Brain Injury Association, you got a minute more?
Yeah, sure.
All right, sit tight right there. He's also the CPAN board member, part of the No Fault Reality Tour, and it's important to understand. And you can disagree with me. You can think that this is the wrong topic, and you can say, Steve, you know, you're this. That's fine. We're having a conversation because it impacts every person that has any association with a motor vehicle of any kind in the entire state. Whether you're a driver, a pedestrian, a bicyclist, it affects everyone. That's why we talk about it on The Steve Gruber Show.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.